9-1. Igor Lukesh is Professor of International Relations and History at Boston University in the United States. He left Czechoslovakia in the 1970s and has become one of the foremost historians of its 20th century history, as well as a sought-after expert on Central Europe and Russia. One of his recent works was Czechoslovakia Between Stalin and Hitler, The Diplomacy of Edvard Beneš in the 1930s. He drew heavily on Czech archive sources for the work. I talked to Igor Lukesh on one of his frequent trips back to the Czech Republic and asked him how it was possible that he got away to the USA.
Well, it was complicated, and it was made even more complicated because I had two classmates, two good friends, a man and a woman, or a boy and a girl, as I would have described them then. And we needed to coordinate our departure, so it was a pretty complicated thing that sort of occupied us for quite a bit of time. And when we finally met in New York, I think I came in first, and she came in second, and he came in last. It was truly like a miracle.
And you left Czechoslovakia at the time of normalization. How much of a surprise was the U.S. to you?
It may sound conceited and perhaps even arrogant, but it was not a surprise. For some reason, I was never one of those who think that one finds bits of gold on the sidewalk, so to say, nuggets of you know, some precious material. I always presumed that it was a country that offered you opportunities, but lots of challenges also. And I think we all were sort of looking forward to the challenges as well as to the opportunities.
And how did it come about that you became what you are now, a professor of history and international relations? Was that something that was in some way planned, or did it? How did that evolve?
It wasn't planned at all. I think I was hoping for an academic career, but to tell you the truth, I would have been happy to make an academic career in geology or Sanskrit if I could. In fact, I came there having trained as a linguist. I kept applying to various academic openings in that field, but I applied for 99 different openings and didn't get a single interview. So I got the message finally and realized that I would have to become a graduate student all over again. And this time I trained in international relations and history.
And was it fairly easy to get an academic post afterwards?
No, it was not easy at all. As you know, it was at the height of the Cold War in the early to mid 1980s, and the country was ideologically pretty divided. There was a conservative president, Reagan, who enjoyed a lot of support from the general public, so to say, whereas the academics, or certainly the vast majority of academics, despised him and felt sort of humiliated that he was the man who represented them. They thought that he was simply dumb, you know. To some extent, they sort of labeled me as a cold warrior because I came from Eastern Europe and because I had these stories about, you know, evil communism, which they, I'm sure, believed, but we're not all too keen on hearing because it somehow reaffirmed the supporters of Reagan in their erroneous support. And to cut the long story short, there was quite a bit of ideological division.
Coming back maybe to Czech history, a lot of your recent time I seem to see has been occupied by studying in some way or other Edvard Beneš. How do you evaluate the man, because the opinions seem quite divided?
Well, it's obviously a very loaded question that no one can answer successfully in the course of a minute or two. I would say simply that since Beneš was a politician, we have to evaluate his achievements as a politician. And from everything we know, he appeared to be a very smart political analyst. Unfortunately, when we look at him as a politician, we have to come to terms with the fact that he left behind a legacy of failure, and that in all the big moments of his life and his political career, obviously 1938, 1939, and then 45 to 48, we see a legacy of failure. So when we looked at him as a politician, it is really hard to give him even a passing degree, even a passing grade. As a human being, I find him a tragic person who was destroyed by the millstones of both East and West.
Did you think that in some ways Benes was naive about the Soviets?
He may have been naive about Soviet intentions, but then so was Roosevelt, and perhaps even Churchill. I don't think he was naive as to the Stalinist methods. He fully understood that the country existed the way it existed, and it survived the Nazi onslaught simply because of the NKVD and the terror, and he had absolutely no illusion about Stalin's method. Now, as to Stalin's intentions, of course he didn't know what Stalin's intentions were, and I might even argue that Stalin himself didn't know exactly in 43 what he was going to do in 1946, if anything at all. He, like the others, didn't know the future and had to sort of work with various, hopefully, you know, equally acceptable scenarios. So obviously, Benes sort of, you know, put his eggs in the Stalinist basket in the hope that it would work.
Looking maybe now at the archives, both in the Czech Republic, which have been opened up over the last years, and maybe those in the Soviet Union, which haven't really been opened up, do you think there will be in the future, as a result of the archives, some revelations about Czech history that hitherto have not been known?
I am fairly confident that the French, British, German archival sources have been exhausted, and I think the Czech archival sources have also been exhausted or are about to be completely exhausted. Obviously, there can be great surprises in the Soviet archives, especially in the archive that is considered, I think they call it presidential or Stalin's archive. I believe that there could also be some remarkable revelations coming out of the NKVD or KGB, whatever one wants to call it, FSB these days, the Soviet Security Special Services Archive. I'm sure that the Soviet Special Services were very active in Central Europe and specifically in Prague. Whether it could conceivably trump what we already know about Chamberlain and Daladier and Hitler and Benes and so on, I am skeptical. I think we pretty much understand the global picture.
Okay. Looking more broadly at the 20th century Czech or Czechoslovak history, do you feel that there are some personalities there that require a reassessment?
I think that we pretty much have more or less an accurate idea of Czechoslovakia between the World Wars and Czechoslovakia in the early post-war period. But of course, many of the heroes may have done some nasty things. Many of the villains may have done some remarkable things. One could look at some of the recent heroes, the post-1989 heroes, and discover that here and there they were less than heroic. And I certainly come across such evidence all the time.